Amen. Can you hear me all right? Does that sound good? Yeah. Pastor Chuck said there's a good guest speaker, so I'm like, where is it? When's he coming? No, just kidding. Right? Man, it is an honor, really an honor to be here with you this morning. I was thinking during worship, I'm so used to having something in front of me. I'm like, what do I do with my hands? I'm like this, I don't know. I'm like Gumby, right? And I've got green on today, so. It really is. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. And can we just give it up for the worship team? That was just awesome, awesome, awesome worship. And I'll tell you what, it warms my heart. I don't know why I said it like that, but it warms my heart that I can step away, last second, right? But others are filling in, so we've got some great leaders and just not even having to think about it, and our leaders just stepped up to the plate. And how many of you know, real quick, I'm going to get out of my soapbox for a moment, worship has nothing to do with about how it sounds, right? Or what it's, we so much focus on this or the songs or the lyrics, but really worship is unto the Lord. And can I encourage you, regardless of who's up or what voice you're hearing, worship with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, your strength. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So this morning, I get the privilege to preach to you, and I'm actually really excited. I'm going to be preaching from Ephesians 1, 15, verse 15 through 23. We're going to be talking about a prayer to know Christ better. And real quick, I was going to wait to do this, but I feel the Lord just kind of leading me this way. I know this is going to be really different, but just go with me on it. During worship, I just was kind of feeling a few things. I felt like the Lord was speaking the word anxiety, fear, depression, and loneliness. And can we just take a moment, I'm not going to make anyone stand because that would be even worse. You feel lonely and then you're going to feel singled out, right? But can we just take a moment, and if that's you, and you just feel that anxiety or that depression or that loneliness or that fear, just know that the Lord sees you, and He wants to know that He wants you to know that He's with you right now. So can we just take a moment and pray for that? Is that okay? All right, Jesus, we just thank you for your love, and Holy Spirit, I just thank you for what you're already doing, what you've been doing through worship, through announcements. And even now through the message, Lord, I pray for those that are feeling this fear, this depression, or this loneliness, or just this anxiousness, that, Lord, you would just calm their spirits, that you would guard their hearts, guard their minds in you, Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. Amen. 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 All right. So let's jump in. Last week, who was here for Pastor Pierre's message? Okay, a good amount of you. By the way, how was the drive-in? Pretty crazy, huh? But you're here. You made it. So it's good to see you. Pastor Pierre preached last week, and he did the first 14 verses of Ephesians. And so it's my privilege. I get to pick up. But one thing he shared that really just kind of stuck out to me was just sharing, like, faith is the key, right, that unlocks all those treasures. Remember his treasure box and all the different things were holy, blameless, all the things he pulled out of there? But talking that faith is the key, and we're gonna build upon that today, but also that we're learning to live in Christ. As we study Ephesians, and as the different pastors come and we present this to you, we are learning to live in Christ. And Paul lays this out so well in Ephesians, just how to live the Christian life well. But also this week we're gonna continue on the theme that this is just kind of what I kind of kept feeling was staying dependent on Jesus, staying dependent on the Holy Spirit, staying dependent on the Father. But if we don't remain in that place of dependency upon Him, man, we're doomed for failure. But with Him, we can do all things, right? Okay. All right, so let's read Ephesians, picking up in verse 15. Paul says this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, first of all. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. God, I know during a season of transition, it could be easy to feel anxious or feel like, what's next? But Lord, we trust you. We trust you completely. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that today as I deliver your word, that it wouldn't be my words, but it would truly be your words. Lord, I humble myself before you. I recognize in my own strength I can do nothing. But Lord, we do as a church and as me as a pastor, I lean upon you, Lord. We lean upon you. Amen. All right. So let's jump in. So verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." You know, I love this verse because it's just kind of, you see this heart that Paul has for the church. It's not just information he's trying to relay to them. It's like, as a father, he's just saying, I'm so thankful you're getting it. Connie and I are not parents yet, but how many of you who are parents, you know, like, when your kids get something right, it's like, finally, right? So, I don't know. I think Paul has a little bit of this like, fatherly heart towards the church, and it's just encouraging to see that he doesn't stop giving thanks, right? And he says, I haven't stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers because of your love for all of God's people, right? We're not getting into cliques. We're not being selective with who we love and who we share the gospel with, but we truly love all of God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Ephesians 1:17, the next verse, and this is where we're going to kind of, I'm going to come back to a little bit later, but man, this is a good one. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So Paul's prayer here, he's got two things he's praying for, right? A spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. They go hand in hand. But today we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit. What's the difference between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom? Because I think sometimes we get the two confused and we think, wow, that person's really wise. And yeah, maybe they are, you know, like we think, oh, good financial moves. Oh, that's got a lot of wisdom. I get all that. But I think as we look through the scriptures, we're going to kind of get a better picture of what Paul's talking about when he's talking a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Heavenly wisdom doesn't always look like earthly wisdom. It doesn't mean that they can't coincide, right? But sometimes, as Jesus said, use the foolish things to shame the wise, right? You see it? So there's a difference between the two. So let's go to the word, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we're not talking fear here like I'm afraid in the sense of like, oh no, I'm always afraid that God's gonna like hurt me or smite me or something like that. That's not so much it, but it's kind of recognizing God has all power, God has all authority, right? As we sang earlier, and Paul's gonna even get into that, just that all authority, all dominion belongs to him. It's this fear, this recognizing that, oh my goodness, God, you are God of all, and if you wanted, you could squish me, but I'm thankful that your sovereign plan was Jesus, right? So we know he has all power, but we see his character through the life and ministry of Jesus. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see how wisdom, it's paired with knowing God. You know, we're going to see that more at the end of Ephesians, but I want to jump in also to James 3, because this lays out wisdom probably the best that I've seen. James 3, verse 13, it says this: "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Hold on to that word humility, okay? "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." And so I just kind of, you know, was thinking about this, but it's the idea that heavenly wisdom points us towards humility, right? Earthly wisdom points us towards our own selfish ambition. But that's the whole thing, is it's having this humble spirit before the Lord that's saying, "God, I recognize in my own strength, I can't do it, right? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord, right? He goes on to say this: "Such wisdom," quote unquote wisdom, "does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Let's let that settle in for a second. "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And I know that that's not our heart here, but could we just, as a church, could we guard ourselves from our own selfish ambition? Could we choose to be unified as a church, have one mind under Christ, that recognizing, God, you are Lord of all, and you are Lord of me in particular, but you're also Lord of this church, this body collectively. And I think that's where we start to get the idea that we fight for unity. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. Got a lot of, is it the snow? Was it too much coming in today? I just want to make sure you're with me. All right, okay. No, we're good. We're good. I'm teasing. So heavenly wisdom points us to humility, but earthly wisdom points us towards selfish ambition. I also said it like this: earthly wisdom is self-seeking, but heavenly wisdom is God-glorifying. And that's really where we want to live, church. We want, as a church, as individuals, to glorify the Lord in everything we do. And I'll tell you what, if you can get to the point where it's just, God, I lay all my pride to the side and I choose to humble myself before you. I choose to see myself as you see me. Man, he can run with that. He can work with that. But it's when we get pride and all that, that's when we fall, right? So earthly wisdom also, it exalts myself, where heavenly wisdom exalts my need for God. Here's why God's wisdom starts with humility and the fear of the Lord. It's saying, God, I need you. I am desperate for you. You know, when Jesus talked about, I didn't put this in here, but when Jesus talked about the hunger and the thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. It's an interesting passage, and I've found in my life the more hungry and thirsty I am for righteousness, for more of God, the more hungry and thirsty I am for more of God's righteousness. It's kind of this thing where it's like I'm thirsty, and it reminds me how thirsty I am, and that reminds me how thirsty I am and how desperate I am, and it just feeds off of itself. And it keeps us in this place of dependency with God. Because I think that is really the thing we have to deal with as Christians, but also just as human beings, is it's so easy to say, yeah, God, I'm going to bring you into my life. I'm going to incorporate you into my life. Yeah, you can have my Sunday. You can have maybe even a Wednesday night, like super Christian now, right? And I volunteer at the church, you know, all that stuff. But really, it was never about that. It was about a life laid down, right? Complete surrender to the Lord, complete dependence upon him. So Christianity 101, right? Depend on the Lord. Okay. All right, let's keep going. Yeah, so we really do, we ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation Hebrews 1, the first three verses say it like this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Man, that's a powerful verse. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the exact representation of God's heart towards humanity. He is the exact representation of his being. Man, that's so powerful. He's the radiance of God's glory, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Man, so good. Jesus perfectly represents and reveals the Father, right? When Jesus was praying, he, at the end of, I think it's towards the end of John, I know it's in a few different versions of the Testaments, but he says, like, Lord, I've come, I've completed your mission, basically. I have glorified you. And that was really the whole point of his mission, was to glorify the Father. But realize, he's in glorifying him, he is revealing the Father. And that's the cry of our hearts as Christians, right? We've been grafted in to Jesus, right? We are clothed in Christ. And so that now we get to be that representation throughout the whole earth. Man, it's so powerful. So good. John 14:9 says it like this. Philip was asking, he's like, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus is like, Philip, are you kidding me? He doesn't say it like that, but that's how I read it. I'm like, you know, after 3 years, after all this time, you don't understand? No, I'm sure Jesus was much more gracious than that. But he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How long have you been with me? Man, that I would go as far as to say, could we say that as a church? That if you've seen us, if you've seen Northfield Christian, you've seen the Father, that we represent his heart so well that people see Jesus in your eyes and in your actions, that it's not you have this Christianity by name, and we just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and when people find that out, they're like, really, dude? Like, you don't even look like Jesus. Like, that should be so unnatural, right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Paul's prayer is that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but just not to stay there, but so that we can know him better. John 15, verse 5, puts it like this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, catch that, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, we must remain in him. We have to remain in him. Notice Jesus says, you will bear fruit, right? But he gives it with the condition, if you remain in me. If you remain in me. And I think so many times, it's easy to think, yeah, the grace that brought me to salvation, and it's like, all right, God, I'm good. Peace. Like, I'll go do this life now. But really what it is it's God's grace brings us to salvation and it sustains us. And that's the whole thing, is we have to remain in the vine, remain in Jesus. I didn't throw this in here, but we know from earlier that it says that I'm the vine and my Father is the gardener, Jesus says. Everything that's not, doesn't bear good fruit, Let me see if I have it, because I don't want to misquote it. Yeah, there it is. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Verse 2, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Can I encourage you that sometimes in your life, you're going to have times where you feel like the Lord's saying, I want you to just take a pause on this, or I want you to set this to the side, or I'm asking you to give this up. And it doesn't even have to be something that's wrong or bad, right? But sometimes it's because he has something else he's wanting to start in you. And until he can get rid of that old branch, man, we can't see the new fruit that he's wanting to do. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay. But we have to remain in him. The key here is dependence upon the Lord. Just like Pastor Pierre shared last week that the key of faith unlocks those things, it's still the key of depending on the Lord. I can do nothing apart from the Lord. I can't do anything by myself but with him, right? You see it? It's not enough to come to him and receive salvation, then just go live our own life. We're called to lay down our lives just as Jesus laid down his life. And I love this because this passage in John 15 where it says, remain in me, and the passage that we're reading with Paul, it so coincides because think about it. Paul says, so that you may know him better, right? And Jesus says, remain in me, which implies you are remaining, stay there. You get it? So this isn't talking to someone who's never heard of the Lord. This is talking to someone who like, we want to stay grafted into the Lord. Does that make sense? Remain in him so that you may know him better. The implication is that it's a constant application to our lives, not something just to understand in concept. All right, let's keep going. Ephesians 1:18 says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So Paul does a great job. He lists these three things, and I've just kind of listed them out for us. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know, one, the hope, right, to which he's called you, two, the inheritance in his holy people, and three, the power. And that power is the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So the hope, the inheritance, and the power. So let's talk about the hope a little bit. Romans 8:24 says this, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And we know that hope is the expectation of good things to come. If we read in Hebrews 11, it talks about that in those first couple verses about hope is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, I believe it says. And so if I have hope, then it implies there's always going to be something, an expectation of good to come. Probably the best way I've heard it described for hope is the idea if you think of a kid on Christmas morning, like hopeful to open up a present. Like, it's like, all right, you got to wait till mom and dad get their coffee or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But the idea, like the kid's like, when are we going to open presents, right? So think of it like that, like the hope of an expectation of good things to come. So we have this hope in Christ, right? You see it? We not only have a hope, but we have an inheritance and power. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have the hope, we have the inheritance. Realize the inheritance belongs to Jesus, and he invites us into that inheritance. You see that? Because it says it's the inheritance in his holy people, but also it's our inheritance because we're grafted into him. Does that make sense? Okay. I love this. Our inheritance can never perish and never fade. The riches of our inheritance are eternal. Pastor Pierre did a great job kind of sharing a little bit of that inheritance, you know, with the treasure and all the things he was pulling out. Some that just hit me was like when he said blameless, right? Blameless in his sight. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of our sins. Notice here that the focus on this inheritance, it was never about the material things that fade away of the world. You see that? The riches we have are Christ. The riches are Christ himself. You see it? And how, I mean, it's great to have things. There's nothing wrong with things in and of themselves. But if it's, right, you cannot serve both God and money, right? And actually, we're gonna read Matthew. It lays it out well. It says this, Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now here he's talking about the good works that we do, that we store those up in heaven, the things that nobody sees. I get that. But the whole point is saying your treasure in Christ, your treasure in heaven, it's eternal. It's not, man, so quickly, I don't know about you, but man, so quickly I can just get focused on me, my life, what I'm doing, my ministry, right? Like this year, Connie and I, how many of you know Connie? She's awesome, right? So that's my wife, right? Connie! Yeah. I'm going to embarrass her. She's an introvert, and she's loving this right now. So, I love you. I love you. But so Connie and I, we're going to be building a house this year, so we're like thinking about all these different things like that have to do with money and the money we don't have, and I'm like, my goodness. Yeah, so, but with that, it's so easy, right? It's so easy to get focused on the temporal and realize and forget that we don't, you know, we forget that our treasure's in heaven. You see it? But it's like our whole life sometimes works around like, okay, I got to make this. We got to budget for this. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we need to be good stewards and represent the kingdom well. I'm not saying any of that. But can we recognize that we need an eternal perspective? And I think that too is part of the heavenly wisdom versus the earthly wisdom. You see it? Man, it's so good. I'll encourage myself in the Lord. All right, here we go. Lastly, the power. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, it says this. Paul's talking, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You know, Paul in Philippians talks about how he's a Hebrew, circumcised on the eighth day. He's like, as a Jew, I was rocking it, man. But basically, he says, I forsake all of that to know Christ, right? So it's not that God didn't want to use his giftings, right? You look at Romans, man, the way that's laid out, like lawyers still to this day use the way Romans is laid out for an argument. Like it's just so brilliant the way he laid it out. So it's not that God doesn't want to use your gifts, but the point is it's all about God's Spirit. It's all about God's power, and my human wisdom is not enough. With a demonstration of the Spirit's power. A few years ago, I was in India. Actually, I think you guys, who was here when they prayed for me because I was super sick over in India? Do you guys remember that? Okay, so I was on a missionary trip, also doing some filming for some documentaries and stuff. Long story short, I was in India, and I got really, really sick in the middle of the night, and I was supposed to lead worship at this church. I was like super pumped. I'm like, I get to have an international worship ministry now, right? No. But I was getting to lead worship at a church, and so I'm like, I'm throwing up. I mean, I'll spare you the details, but it was rough. It was like, it's not worth going into. But all that to say, I ended up in the hospital because the family we were with was just saying, like, this could be serious, and we should just get you checked out. So, anyways, I end up in the hospital. I'm, like, you know, on the bed, just kind of chilling there, and doing all the stuff. They're running their tests, and all of a sudden, those curtains that go between the beds, so the nurse like throws the curtain. I hear all these people running around, like people are yelling, and I didn't understand the language they were speaking, so I'm just like, what is going on? So I asked the translator with me. I was like, what's going on? And they brought in this girl. She had tried to kill herself. She had tried to, I don't remember what type, but she drank all this poison just wanting to be done with life. And so she was done. So they're trying to revive her. They're trying to, like, pump her stomach, whatever they do, right? I'm thankful that they know what they're doing because I sure don't. And I pass out when I see a needle, so I'm... Thank God for doctors and nurses. So they're doing all this stuff, and I'm just like, what is going on? And so I asked my translator, like, we need to talk to her. And at this point, I'll be honest, I was just kind of mad that I didn't get to lead worship. I was like, you know what? If I have to be in the hospital, I'm going to make the devil pay for it. Like, this girl's going to get the gospel presentation, if anything else, you know, But really, that was my thinking, and so we talked with her, and I'll tell you what, my speech was rough. Like I told you, I was up most of the night. I was not in a good place mentally. Just like, you know, when you're just tired, you just don't. You're like saying things. I'm like, I don't mean to say that. That's not what I was trying to say. That's just kind of how it went. Like, so here was my gospel presentation in a nutshell. It was like, There's this God. He loves you. I love him. He's really good. His name is Jesus. He died on a cross. And like, I know it sounds funny, but that's where I was at in the moment. Like, that's the best I could do. But here's the cool thing, and here's why I share the story is this: it wasn't with eloquent words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. You get that? It's not with eloquent words, but with a demonstration of power. And so it was an awesome story. She ends up giving her life to the Lord on the spot, and then they rush her out real quick to, I don't know, they had to take her somewhere else because they didn't have everything they needed there. Anyways, all that to say, if you're just obedient to the Lord, he'll use whatever you got in the moment. He doesn't need much. He wants your willingness, and he wants your obedience. And so he took me, kind of just, man, if you could have seen it, it was rough. It was rough. But I share all that to say it's not about you. It's not about me. But if we can get to this point where we get past ourselves, where we're okay just stepping out in obedience, maybe you're at the grocery store and you just feel like the person in front of you needs to hear the gospel. Why not? Just do it. Like, what's the worst that happens? They say no and they leave you and push your cart down or something. I don't know. Like, we're not talking like life and death here, you know? And so we can be willing as a church. We can be obedient when we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. Because, listen, the world needs you. The world needs you. I think we get so comfortable coming to church and doing our stuff, you know, praising the Lord. And that's all proper, that's all correct, and we need all that. But if it never reaches past these walls and we have missed it, you see it? Only the Holy Spirit can save. Only the Holy Spirit can heal. And he wants to use us to do it. In Acts 3, it's one of my favorite stories where Peter and John, they see a lame man, and he asks them, he's like, hey, can I have some money, right? And what does Peter say? Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk, right? So, man, it's so powerful. Like, dude's just wanting a little bit of money, and then all of a sudden now he can walk. Like that's a good day, right? But here's the thing. Later down in verse 12, Peter, you know, all the people are kind of like, you know, all the people would have known this dude, right, who was paralyzed, and so they're all kind of freaking out, like, what's going on? And Peter says this, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness, we have made this man walk. And he goes down in verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can now see, as you can all see, I should say. And then later, so long story short, the Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin, and then Peter gives this just like knockout speech before the Sanhedrin. But in after he shares that, in chapter 4, verse 13, it says this about the Sanhedrin. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So here's the question today. Have you been with Jesus? Is it evident in your life that Jesus is not just a part, but he is Lord, he is master, he is the boss of your every moment? It's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know him entirely. And let him know you. You know, I was thinking, Connie and I got married a few years back. How sad would it have been if, I'm just thinking how bizarre this would be, if, like, we're there signing the papers for the marriage license, and I'm like, all right, we're married, all right, I'll see you. And then, like, just kind of go off and live my own life. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? But when we give our lives to the Lord, I think sometimes we do that and we don't, and hear me, I'm not trying to bash us. I hope you hear my heart in love this morning. But it's just to encourage us that, man, I want to guard myself from just knowing that I'm contractually a son, right? That I'm grafted in. If my pursuit when I was dating her, you know, I'm pursuing her and then I marry her and then just leave, like, then we're married by contraction, like by the contract, but not by relationship. You see it? It's one thing to know your position in Christ, to know that you're a son or a daughter. But here's my prayer that I just don't want to use our position in Christ as an excuse for lack of intimacy. You see it? You know, I can say I'm a co-heir with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. You know, all these things that we know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, right? All these verses that we can recite, they're great. But here's the thing. If it just stays about my head knowledge and knowing that, yes, I these are correct things about God, then I never get to the side of pursuing him and him pursuing me, right? And that's the only reason we know what love is. God loved us first. All right, let's keep going. Are we okay? I feel like I just want to make sure I'm not like putting like a wet blanket on everybody. Okay, we're good. Okay, all right. Verse 19 talks about his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So we know that it's his power for us who believe. But not only that, we know that Christ is raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places. Romans 8 says this, verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present, but also in the one to come. It's like Paul's saying here, Jesus is the best, right? Jesus is better. He's better than anything you've thought of. Like, he is the best. He's in every case possible, in any scenario, he's the winner, right? He, for those of you who likes basketball besides me, I'm like a big, here's the funny thing, I don't really watch basketball anymore, but I'll just watch old basketball highlights and then watch people argue about who's the greatest. They call it the greatest of all time, the GOAT, right? And so they'll argue, is it LeBron? Is it, you know, Michael Jordan? And I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure no one will ever beat Michael Jordan. But here's the point. Paul is saying here, like, Jesus is the GOAT, right? Like, Jesus is the greatest of all time. But not just in basketball. I mean, that's silly. But we're talking, like, he is all authority, all dominion, all power belongs to him. And that's the God we serve. It reminds me a lot of Colossians 1. Are you ready? This is a pretty good chunk of verse. Here we go. Verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Can I encourage you today? You know, I don't know who's in here, but man, if you feel far from the Lord, realize Jesus has done all the work. Jesus has done everything he needed to do to open his arms towards you. And it's just saying, yes, God, I receive you. You can be my Lord. You can be my master. But it's only because of what he did on the cross. He shed his innocent blood for you and for me. So, so good. All things are through Christ and created for Christ. He is the head of the body. He's the head of this body too. So we can trust him. And God placed all things under his feet, verse 22, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Guys, let's stop looking at what we're not or what we feel like we're not and start looking at what Jesus calls us. We're his church. We're to be holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle. You know, I think with what Pastor Pierre was sharing last week about the treasure hidden in a field, right? The second part of that passage talks about that the kingdom is like a merchant who goes away, sells everything he has, and gets a pearl of great price. But the way that it words it, it flips it. So the idea is that we're, like in the first scenario, right, we have to go and sell everything we have to get that treasure hidden in the field. You're with me? Okay, in the second it says the kingdom is like a merchant. And so, went away, think about it, came to earth, sold everything he had to get a pearl of great price. Jesus must have seen immense value in the church. He laid down his very life for us. And I believe it's our calling as the church, not only to reveal his glory here on the earth, but also to tell everyone about him. You see it? It's the Matthew, I've got it in here, Matthew 28:18. If Jesus has all authority, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And just like that word earlier, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Can I encourage you? yeah, that was a word that Jesus shared to his disciples, but that is a present word for today. He's with you. He's with this church. You know, even as we're searching for a new lead pastor, it's easy to feel like, what's going to happen? I don't know who talks like that, but like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, all these questions. But the Lord is faithful, and he's with us. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. All right, so here's some action steps. I'm winding down. You all good? All right, here's some action steps that I want you guys to take away this week. First one's this. Would you just ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation? Not just to look wise. You get it? It's not the earthly wisdom so I can exalt myself. It's that asking for heavenly wisdom, asking, Lord, I want to know your will. Give me a spirit of wisdom. Give me a spirit of revelation so that I can know you and know you better. Ask God to enlighten your hearts to do the three things that we listed, to understand the hope that he's called us to, the riches of his inheritance in his holy people, and the power that's only in Christ. And lastly, just recognize that Christ is supreme and remain dependent on his spirit. Remain dependent on Christ daily. And that's my prayer for each of us this morning, that we would lean on the Holy Spirit. Who we all know that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You could repeat it. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So that's the thing, guys. It's recognizing that, God, you are Lord of all. And, God, I want to know you. I don't want to create an idea of what I think you are. I want to know you in your fullness. And for all eternity, we will be understanding and discovering new parts of God's manifold wisdom. Isn't that exciting? You think in 1 Corinthians where it talks, I'll end with this, I promise. I did the preacher thing where I said I'm ending and then I didn't end and I had more. It's happening. No, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that these three remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. So think about it. If faith, hope, and love will exist for all of eternity, hope is something, an expectation of good things to come. For all eternity, we will be discovering and learning new things about who God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? We know that. But it's our eyes are being enlightened to who he is, and it's going to take eternity, right, to understand that. So let me pray for you guys as we close. But I do. I pray that I hope this was practical, and I hope this was helpful, that you would be encouraged that, guys, we can walk this out. We can walk this Christian life, but it's only when we stay dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let me pray for you guys, and then we'll head out of here. So, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. Lord, you revealed who you were when you came to this earth. God, I thank you that you revealed the Father so well, perfectly. And God, I pray for this church that this morning that we wouldn't just hear another message, but that we would put it into practice. Like the man who built his house on the firm foundation, we would put it into practice, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. Give this church, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know you better. And we recognize you are Lord of all. We thank you and we honor you. It's in your name we ask this. Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much. Thanks for joining. Oh, you guys are awesome. Yeah, thanks. So we love you, and we just hope you have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week. All right, see you guys.